popcorn and peanuts. We'll work in the stands. Pink cotton candy, love on a stick. He's chasing the beer. The trick of the lips, play ball. Play ball. Load up the bases and smack it right over the wall.
Play ball.
Caps, time for the song. Red, white, and blue. We all sing along.
Hi, John.
How are you, buddy?
Doing great, bud. Glad to be here.
Thank you for filling in for John. He's out in Chicago. I think he went out there for pizza. Is that true, Tara?
That's what I heard.
Let's say hello to the lovely Tara Brown is here tonight again.
Good evening, everyone. How are you?
We're going to try to have Tara talk a little more since she has the nicest voice of all three of us. So we'll see how that works out. So, so a few quickies here tonight. We have a good show lined up, a lot of guests. So we're going to try to bang this out quick and see if we could pull this off. We have a few callers calling in. How was your week, Tara?
My week was very busy, but good. And yours?
Mine was good. Good. Did a lot of stuff, a lot of playing with the kids, okay. The big kids. I like going over to the field and just kicking the soccer ball around and getting some exercise and going to the beach and stuff like that. Did a comedy show on Saturday night at a camp. It was a camp out east. Really a lot of fun. Great audience. I thought they were a little old for camp, though. And then I realized it was the parents. I thought it was like Eric, like one of those fantasy baseball camps. You know, that's what I thought it was.
Fantasy for adults.
Yeah.
Get away from the kids.
People who never went to camp, like they get the experience to camp. So that was pretty cool. Oh, we're gonna take our first caller tonight. We have Melissa ILP on the line. Hello, Melissa. Hello, Melissa. Yes. Oh, okay. Absolutely. So, Tara, give me your page 5 news story that you wanted to talk about tonight.
So apparently there was this teenager from Seaford, I won't say the name, who got a little, in his quotes, banged up with the family early in the day and went to a Broadway show and saw a outlet on the stage. And decided that he needed to plug his phone in because all the girls were calling all day and draining his battery. And he climbed up on the Broadway stage and plugged in his phone.
That is so awesome.
The fact that he's 19 and admitted to getting banged up with the family is, you know, number one. Number two, you climb on stage at a Broadway show. And he was made to apologize. And his response, which if this was my kid, I would have smacked him, said, well, I brought attention to your show, so you should be thanking me for climbing on stage.
You know what? He's right. He's absolutely right. Was this during the show?
This was right before the show. He climbed up and saw an outlet in the set, in the scenery, and climbed up and disturbed like the whole beginning of the show.
You know what? That's genius. He's right. What was the name of the show?
I don't know. I didn't want to say it.
You know what, though? Listen, hey, all publicity is good publicity. It's a good idea.
That's true.
I guess this is true.
Eric, you had a really nice, pretty cool page 5 story.
Yes, it was about a couple named Alexander and Jeanette Toch. It was a name, something like that. It's hard to pronounce. But they were married for 75 years.
Wow.
Now, not only were they married for 75 years, they were both born in 1919. They fell in love in 1927 at age 8.
Aww.
Wow. They were together from 1927 until 2 weeks ago. They fell in love and they were married in 1940. Alexander went off to war, came back, and in fact, they had 5 children, 6 grandchildren. And they always said they wanted to die in each other's arms. And they, in fact, did. They were in a nursing home together. In fact, there's a picture of them both deceased online. You see them both in each other's arms. Alexander probably went first. And Jeanette said, don't worry, he's waiting for me. And she said to his body right there, said, don't worry, I'll be there soon. And apparently,
that's a beautiful story.
It's unbelievable. You married in 1940. He went off to war, even came back. Could you just imagine? They were in love since from 1927 until 2 weeks ago.
Wow, great story. My page by story is there was a woman from Florida that went out on the 4th of July sitting in a restaurant, and something hit her in the leg. She thought it was a firecracker, and 5 days later it was still bothering her. She went to the doctor, and they found a bullet in the leg. She was shot in the leg and didn't realize it until they took the bullet out 5 days later, pretty cool.
The bullet was still in her when they got there? I mean, it didn't just graze her. It went in.
It went in. Wow. It went in. You know, I mean, I know what that's like. I've been shot a lot of times. I don't know. But I guess sometimes you don't feel it. You know, it's like anything else. Maybe like it feels like a scratch. I don't know. But that was a true story. I'm going to take Melissa on line one right now. We have Melissa now. Melissa?
Hi. How are you?
I'm sorry we're a little late. I screwed up the number.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried at all. How are you?
I'm crying about the two people that died in each other's arms in the nursing home, but it's okay. It's all good.
I know. See how laughter saves lives? See the kind of things we do to make you laugh? Eric has you crying 5 minutes into the show. But you know what?
I wasn't expecting that, but hey.
I have that effect on women. It's just
So let me tell you a little bit about Melissa, and Melissa will tell you the rest. Melissa is a sister, and I called you Melissa Ielpe. Obviously, that's not your married name, right? What's your married name?
Correct. My married name is Brengel, Melissa Brengel.
Okay. Melissa is the sister of John Ielpe, who worked in Squad 288, was lost on 9/11. I worked at the same firehouse with John. I was in hazmat. And to me, John was a hard worker. He was a great fireman. We weren't really close, but I always cracked up because I'd get up early in the morning sometimes, and he'd be watching one of these old TV shows like Chips or something like that, and be really into it, just sitting there with his coffee. Like, you know, it was the first time we ever saw this. It was kind of funny. So tell me a little bit about your brother, Melissa.
Well, like I said, Jonathan, he was in 288 out of Queens, and he was also the chief of the volunteer fire department in Great Neck, where we grew up. He was very serious about his work, but a very funny person when you got to know him. Like, it would take a little bit, but once you got to know him, you were laughing constantly whenever you were with him.
Yeah, he had a funky sense of humor, right? It was a little off center. Tell me a time that he made you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No problem.
Tell me a time he made you laugh. Tell me a time he made you laugh.
But there's a bunch. But when we were younger, we used to have a house in our backyard, like a little playhouse in the backyard. And he always wanted to be a city fireman. And he and my brother Brendan, who's also in Rescue 2 now in Brooklyn, they would put me inside of this playhouse. And they would lock up the doors or put boards up on all the doors, and they would throw smoke bombs into the house. And they would use me as their fire victim. And they would wait until the house filled up with smoke, and then the two of them and their neighbors would come running into the backyard with garden hoses. And they would knock everything, all the windows and everything out, and they would pull me coughing and gasping for air, pulling me out of this little house. And every time they wanted to play, I was the little sister going, "Man, let's go." And I would go right back into the house again. That was his sense of humor, the way that he was. It didn't bother him. As long as he was keeping other people entertained, it was all good.
Well, I think that you made them a better fireman. See, you sacrificed your fun for them.
I'm glad he didn't want to be a butcher.
I still blame them for asthma. I have asthma.
You hear what Eric said? Eric, repeat it for Melissa.
I'm just glad your brother didn't want to be a butcher.
Yeah, seriously. I'd be walking around with a few less limbs.
Well, Melissa, thanks so much for calling in. I hope you get the April 12th show. Our caller number, by the way, is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. The April 12th show, I'm giving you a free ticket, right?
If you can make August 12th, not April 12th.
August, not April.
Oh, did I say April?
You're a few months ahead or behind, whichever.
I planned it early, Melissa. And I hope to see you there, and thank you so much for taking the time and calling in.
Thank you, and I'll see you then, and have a great night.
All right, Melissa, thanks so much.
Goodbye.
Bye. That was nice of her to call in. Was it not, guys?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so we don't have our next guest on the phone yet. So let's fill in by the Joey Novick, who is not going to call in tonight. He had the wrong night. I'll throw that story in. And it's been talked about before, okay? Chris Christie, I don't want to do politics on this show, really, but Joey Novick is going to try to call in once a week and give us a quick, fun political story. My question is, with his weight, seriously, with his weight, is he presidential material? Is his health, are we concerned about his health? If you want to vote for president, does he look like a president? You know, I think that's concerns from some people. What do you think, Tara? Does it would affect your vote?
I don't know. You know, there is that health concern. You think about how long is he going to be there, and then who's his vice president? So it really it's a duo when it comes to someone who's unhealthy, for me anyway. But yeah, you could take the political part into it and then the health factor into it as well.
Or someone that's old, like the last election with who am I talking about? The Vietnam.
I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
The old guy. Oh, my God.
McCain?
Yes.
John McCain.
Yeah, that was a concern of mine. I loved him, I really liked him as a person, but that was my concern. Who's his vice president going to be? And then we found out who that was, and that took me way out of that vote. All right, Eric, we're going to take Rob now on line two from Rob Policastro from Angela's house. Hello, Rob.
Hello, John. How you doing?
Hello, my buddy. One of the biggest gentlemen I have ever met in Long Island. That's a tough weight to bear, is it not?
It certainly is.
You know, I can't picture you at a party letting your hair down in your funky shorts and being a little tipsy, but I'm sure it happens at times, correct?
You know, to be honest with you, it doesn't happen too often like that.
No? Yeah, I'm not a drinker either. But we're very excited. Laughter Saves Lives is very excited to be working with you in some way again. We're doing this show on August 12th, Tara, right?
Yes.
At the Belmore Theater in memory of the local guys that were lost on 9/11 from Merrick, Belmore, and Wantagh. And we're going to donate most of the money to Angela's house. A few bucks are going to go towards Laughter Saves Lives. Rob, can you tell us a little bit about how Angela's House got started and what kind of services you have there?
Got started now. My wife and I are looking to have our second child, and this is now 26 years ago this summer. And unfortunately, a lot of things went wrong during birth, and she lost a lot of blood and oxygen, which really left her very, very medically frail and chronically ill. It put us into a world that we had no idea that existed, and it was kids that, you know, needed technology or nursing care for a parent to be able to be with their child or that child to be able to survive.
Unbelievable. And, you know, and for people who have healthy children, we have no idea what you went through and what these parents go through. We have no idea. And that's why I said to you, I would love to visit the home so I have more of an idea and get more of an emotional connection. Not that I don't have one now, because I see it through you. I see the love and I see the dedication, and it's awesome. But you're doing great work.
Thanks, Sean. You know, after realizing the shortfalls in the system, I tried to advocate. And I've been doing it ever since. And then we formed a nonprofit to kind of fill some of those voids in the gaps. So we now have the three homes where children, instead of like 26 years ago, that were living in hospitals or out of state, they can now live here on Long Island in specialty homes that have 24-hour nursing coverage. And then thank God, with you know, some approvals through federal government and state government, we have specialty Medicaid programs that allows these children, even middle-class America families that would never qualify for services, just the child gets Medicaid, and it allows that child to live at home with their parents, which is really the best-case scenario. And the best part about it on top of that is it saves the state and federal government a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's a great win-win situation. And then what we fundraise, because many times there's shortfalls in what insurance or Medicaid will cover. And we then step in and say, you know, we'll get the specialty equipment and medical supplies or whatever it might be to just to help make the home a safer environment for the family to be able to care for that child.
Now, is it true that some of the families, their children actually live there?
Yeah, we have, with our homes, those kids actually live in the home. Some of them, you know, had lived their entire life in hospitals or nursing homes. Some had lived at home for a while. But, you know, medically, it gets very complicated and very difficult for a family to do this at home. So our homes become an alternative. We have 23 kids that live in the three homes. They look just like a regular house, except for when you go inside, you know, they have all the medical equipment and staffing that can care for them. The majority of the kids that we work with are in the community with the parents. We work with over 600 kids that are with their parents. John, I didn't even get a chance to tell you. This past weekend, we did our summer party at White Post Farms on Route 110.
Sure.
And we had over 300 people that, you know, and it's perfectly handicapped accessible. So the kids were right next to the animals. We had nurses there. We had the parents and siblings. It was just absolutely beautiful.
That's great, Rob. Tara has a question for you.
Hey, do the local hospitals like Cohen's Children's Hospital know about, you know, this organization and the housing and everything?
They do.
Okay.
Unfortunately, a lot of people in the community don't know about it, but, mm-hmm. you know, in kind of the small environment of the hospitals, the specialty schools, the social workers, they know about us in the county and the state. Unfortunately, you can imagine, there's a lot more kids than, you know, even we can help. So
yeah.
there's not enough, I would say, you know, like homes, and there's also, you know, a shortage of being able to help as many as we would like to, even in home care.
Now, do you have like a certain contractor that you work with? You know, how there's some that will do the homes for veterans or things like that. So do you have a special group that you work with for that, the contractors, or volunteer groups that get together to build the houses?
Part of that Medicaid system I mentioned before, one of the great things about that is the ability to work with the federal and state government. And mm-hmm. they will give some grants, and then that allows us to competitively bid them out to local contractors. We also get circumstances where, for whatever reason, you know, maybe a family doesn't qualify or can't get that grant, and you know, then we seek out, you know, contractors that can step in and maybe help a family get a ramp or something within the home that needs to be made more accessible for the child to be able to be cared for there.
Okay. Thank you.
Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, just one question, Rob. Did the Affordable Care Act affect anything that you do?
You know, the Affordable Care Act is affecting things, but in a slow way, and it's kind of affecting anyone that's on Medicaid and Medicare. Everyone's talking about, you know, it's great how more people will be insured, but the edict was also, well, how are we going to save money in Medicaid and Medicare? So slowly you're going to see a whole new process, and, you know, they're going to basically reinvent Medicaid and Medicare to try to manage Medicaid it. So you know what that's going to mean. You're going to see, you know, and these kids will be in a really tough position because, you know, a lot of these parents, they have to go to specialists. You know, you might be talking some of the debilitating diseases where, you know, the only person that even knows about the disease might be in Cincinnati in that specialty hospital there or up in Boston.
Oh, right.
And you can't have an insurance company say, well, you can't get that. Well, you can't go to that doctor. And I'm very fearful as they begin to make all these changes that we will see cuts. And as I mentioned before, we've already seen how the state is not, you know, approving more homes to be built. So, you know, that's know, this is all part of the reality of, you know, how they're now trying to save money in Medicaid and Medicare, you know, which is sad for this population, I would say more so than any, because this population, as I said before, we're, these parents in our homes, we're saving the state and federal government money. Isn't it sad now that they want to even cut it even more?
Do we
want to go back to 30 years ago when they were living in hospitals? It's crazy.
Yeah, Rob, I'm telling you, this is an unbelievable program. You're so used to handling these kids and taking care of kids in your own personal home, in your own home. You think you would take my 14-year-old daughter for a few weeks? I mean, Rob, you're so used to doing it just for a few weeks.
Let me tell you something. The only thing that you would have to be aware of, you know, my wife and I, you know, we're the old-fashioned school. You know, we're disciplinarians. You know, my last two kids went through the Merchant Marine Academy. So, you know, we're I'm not going to say we're overly strict, but you know, it's not easy raising teenagers.
She's a good girl anyway. Listen, I can't thank you enough for calling in. Love the program. I'd love anything we can do for you guys in memory of my guys that were lost on 9/11 to do a show, make people laugh, and throw you a check is awesome. Are you going to be there that night, or are you sending somebody else?
Absolutely. I'm going to be there, John. I've loved your shows. You know, we did one, what, about 2 years ago? We did one earlier this year. You guys are absolutely wonderful people. Love the shows that you set up. And, you know, the reviews on them have been wonderful. So I'm looking forward to August. And, you know, I know people calling me already saying they want to be a part of it, too. So it's going to be a fun night, and it'll be nice to raise money and awareness for the parents that have medically frail kids.
Excellent. Well, thanks for calling in, and we will see you that night.
Where can they buy tickets for the show?
You can buy tickets for the show on the website at laughtersaveslives.org or right at the theater. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you very much, guys.
Have a good night. Eric, you want to read?
Sure. John, MCN Duct Cleaning, established in 2003. What was once only based in the Greenlawn, New York area, has now expanded to both Suffolk and Nassau counties. We clean air ducts, commercial and residential, also dryer vents, dryer fires, chimneys, fireplaces, wood-burning stove, and boiler flues. We also reline chimneys when the terracotta flues fall apart and when people convert from oil to gas. Now, you can contact MCN Duct Cleaning. In fact, you can contact Matt directly, matt@mcnductcleaningllc.com. That's matt@mcnductcleaningllc.com.
Let Matt clean your flu.
There you go. Also, Rudy Fusco.
Rudy,
good guy, friend of mine, puts on good shows. Rudy Fusco presents comedy shows, dinner shows, live music with comedy, corporate entertainment, fundraising, and private parties. You can like Rudy Fusco on Facebook. You can also call Rudy at 631-617-7140. That's, once again, Rudy Fusco presents comedy shows and the like. They're very good. His number is 631-617-7140.
Thank you, Rudy Fusco, for your support. Let's bring in Mr. Maffa is on the line. Mr. Maffa.
What's going on, guys?
Would you get your flu
cleaned?
I was going to say, that was a very emotional read of that commercial.
I cleaned my ducts about a half an hour ago with a toothbrush and a bar of Ivy soap.
Take it easy. How are you doing? Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Man. Erica, the Affordable Care Act when we grew up was our parents told us we can't afford it and we don't care. Done.
That's
I was
in
that guy's shed. All he's got to do is give me some weed. That's the medication I need. That's it. Hey, that's great what that guy is doing, man. That's really good. That's
yeah.
good. I don't even want my own kids in my house, let alone, you know, try, like you said, your 14-year-old daughter. Send her. He's got his kids a Merchant Marines?
Yes.
What exactly is a Merchant Marine? What is that exactly?
You know, I really made it sound like I knew when he called.
Eric, man, you must know.
They sell Marines.
What is the message? I guess they're like, you go to school to work for, like, the oil barges and, like, the tugboats and stuff like that.
Yeah, merchant Marines, to me, it sounds like the Coast Guard, but what do I know?
That sounds like a good job for a guy who wants to go and get involved with ISIS or something. You know? You just disappear. Yeah. Nobody. Who's on those boats? John, you're a fireman. The tugboats for the fire department. Like, are they manned by actually firemen man those things? Or are they, like, through the city or something?
In fact, Joe, there's a special title for some of them on the boats, the ones that drive it. But there are also some firemen who – it's like a lateral move, but you have to do some training. There's a few firemen, and then there's an engineer and something else.
Hey, I grew up in Howard Beach, and the fire department in Howard Beach, occasionally they got to put out a barbecue grill fire in somebody's house. Some Jewish guy, you know, he's still using charcoal. They used to call that fire department. It's on the bay. They used to call it On Golden Pond. That's what they used to call it.
I know.
I have a definition. They go out
for
coffee
runs. That's what they do.
I have a definition, Joe. It's the fleet of ships which carries imports and exports during peacetime and becomes a naval auxiliary during wartime to deliver troops.
Oh, okay.
You know what? And we're never getting out of this. We're in wartime forever with the Middle East.
But they carry goods and stuff. So, you know, it's all the Italian guys who work on the docks down in Brooklyn, pretty much.
Let me tell you.
They come off a ship.
You've been working with Eric for years. You finally learned something from him.
We need snitches.
Hey, John, tell us about your show in the city.
I'm sorry?
Tell us about what you're working on now, the one-man show? Your one-man show.
Well, you know, I started as a one-man show, John. I was thinking of doing that, but you know what I did instead? It's like me and Eric are doing it. We're calling it like it's my big, fat, dysfunctional life. We're basically two comics. We basically talk about a lot of stuff in our lives that's going on, and it's all dysfunctional, true story stuff. You know, like Eric was doing stuff yesterday about getting old. Eric, that bitch you did, I don't know if it was new stuff or not, about they should have a parade for...
That's not new, yeah, but yeah, a few months old.
That's great, man. You know, you have a float that's a big ear with hair growing out of it.
Middle-aged pride. We should have... Hey, listen, everybody else has got a pride parade, right?
Every group.
Every orientation's got one. Well, we should have. Middle-aged people should have one also. There you go.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Going through.
Joe, I don't know if you remember this, but we auditioned for Laughter Saves Lives. Last Comic Standing 1 year at Caroline's together. Do you remember that?
I remember that. They booed me right. They didn't boo me off because I said, Eric, was that the one you were on with us?
No. They booed
you
off because you used the term for a breast.
I said, hi, my name is Joe Moff. I got... two fat kids who look just like my ex-wife, and they were like, hey, thanks for coming.
No, that was the one with me, Joe. He's referring to another fiasco.
Actually, that one on TV.
And the lady came up to us afterwards and asked us for individual interviews, and you said, no, we're doing the interview together, John and I. And she said,
I remember that.
She said to you, Joe, what do you think they were looking for? And you said, I could tell you what they weren't looking for, John and I.
Exactly. No, I went to the first Last Comic Standing audition. I had my agent on Long Island. He had a ponytail. I'm not going to mention his name. He sent me. Obviously he likes to dress like Hiawatha's father or something. I don't know, but he sent me to I went on. I was like it was a call, and I got in with the first four people. We went in the morning, and they took the first three guys. Rich Voss is one of the guys, and they took him, and they took these two girls that were ahead of us, and it was five people. I was the fifth guy going in, and I said to the guy in front of me, they're not taking me. And he said, why not? I go, because they're seeing like 85 people today, and they already took three people. You know, because those things are all set up. A lot of them set up, and they know the comics they want to put on those shows, and that's a good thing too. You know what? But they got to make it. It's a business. You know the deal, John.
Yes. Yes,
I have to tell you, I was on briefly in 2010. I told two jokes, and I still get remembered for it.
Oh yeah, Eric, you got a lot of shows. You got a lot. What they did was they said when you come to New York, you get a lot of this, and they ran like a minute and a half segment of all like guys like me. I think Joe Starr was on it, and they said
Rich
good comics.
Myself, you. That's right.
But what they did is they they did Eric once, then they did Eric again. So he got like the most. You got a lot of airplay out of that.
Nice. I actually had an interview. They taped an interview. They didn't show it on the main show, but I think it was on Comedy. There was another channel that showed some of it, and I got on that. People told me they saw the interview, the full interview, which is kind of cool.
You want to know what? It's all exposure. That's all it is, because a lot of these guys who make that actually make that show, I don't know if anybody knows this. They're not fed. We're like veteran comics. I don't care what you say. We're out there plugging away, and I've been doing comedy since over 25 years. And show of you guys, Eric, you gotta be doing comedy at least 15 years.
15.
That's what I'm trying to say. So you know what? You're doing. You got more than you like. You did 40 minutes yesterday, or 50 minutes. I did 55 minutes of comedy. A lot of these guys got 5 minutes. They get up there and they're like humming. You know,
yeah.
After that.
Yeah. Well, Joe, listen, we're gonna let you go. That's a nice way to say it. We're gonna cut you off.
Oh, I thought I was staying on longer. I'm not calling next time.
Listen, we really appreciate you calling in and giving us some yucks.
No problem, man. I'll talk to you guys. Peace.
You're the best, Joe. 888-429-5471. Let's bring in our part-time bro, A. Marie.
Hey.
Hey, hey Marie.
Hey, nice to finally meet you this week.
Yes, I went into the city and I met A. Marie at Broadway Comedy Club. That was nice.
Yes, thank you for coming to my show.
You're welcome. So what do we have to talk about today, A. Marie?
Well, I just kind of want to shout out to my family. They're all listening. They're excited about this on the weekly basis. We lost my great-grandmother today of 103 years old, God bless her soul, and I thought it would be a good way to start it off because we're going to talk about women in sports, because my great-grandmother, I mean, 103 years old, that's a long time to live.
God bless her.
She's one of the strongest,
most coolest.
What was
grandma's name, Amory?
I call her Grand Mary,
right?
And God bless her, and then she was so awesome, and she was just like she ran away to New York when she was 15, she's just so full of life, and she just was always optimistic and just lived life to the fullest. So I'm proud to be her great granddaughter. So,
well, you have a lot of that energy and that sparkle, and you're awesome. So tell us a little bit about and we're sorry for your loss.
Thank you. I appreciate
very
it.
Sorry.
Well, John, it's okay. So Becky Hammon, I don't know if you guys know, retired WNBA player of 16 years. Became the first female professional coach. She's an assistant coach for the San Antonio Spurs, and now she's head coach of the Summer League. But it's cool because she's the first female coach ever in any professional sport, NHL, MLB, NFL, and I just think that's really cool. And she's getting a lot of respect for it. I haven't seen anyone really diss on her. So. And,
yeah, she seems to be getting the respect of the players from what I see.
You know what? It would be better if it could get her to coach a group of older men. They're used to having women tell them what to do. They really are. The fact that she's actually coaching young guys is very impressive.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. She played the WA for 16 years. That's a long time.
I agree. Now, tell us about this kooky guy up the Bills coach there, Aaron Cromer. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Coach Cromer, the Buffalo Bills. And then I also want to side note on some FSU players, college players, DeAndre Johnson and Dalvin Cook, the running back. All assaults hit for hitting people. This needs to stop. Like, I don't know what it takes, but this has just gone on too far in the last 2 years in multiple sports, coaches and players. And I don't know, you guys played sports your whole life, right? Like, as an athlete, your character builds you. Do you know what I mean? It's not just playing the sport. I feel like being a good athlete based off your character too. So I don't know what the hell's going on.
Of course I play sports. Did you look at me, the kind of shape I'm in? Of course I'm an athlete.
Of course you are.
That beak, and you know what? You could sugarcoat it. Let's face it, the NFL is the big culprit here. It stands for nuts, freaks, and losers, because that's what that league. Even one of the New York Jet coaches tried to kick or tried to trip a player running by. These guys have no boundaries. And what gets me about this, I'm glad that Amory brought this up, about this Aaron Cromer. He only got charged with a misdemeanor. He threatened to kill the kid's family.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amory, well, like, Amory, you know what I'm impressed with, Amory? It took me 3 weeks to say A. Marie, not A. Marie, and Eric got it the first time. Did you notice that?
Hey, Marie, get a hold of this
guy.
I
think you're going
to
replace
an attorney. I got a cousin. He'll reduce it to tailgating.
Avery.
Seriously.
Avery, let's talk about the women's soccer team salaries.
Oh, okay. And so, and then I also want to add, so I looked up, and I also looked up, like, other women's sports, like Becky Hammon, for example, the coach I just talked about that fired. So as a WNBA player, she was making $70,000 a year, which is, I mean, it's good money for all of us, you know, living the dream.
Wow.
But you know what athletes mostly make, right? Like, some, and I don't want to be men. And, for, okay, so I looked up what, because I was just intrigued when I was like, I wonder how much these World Cup badass soccer players make. They make between $6,000 and $30,000 a year.
What
they
do the men
live
make?
In New York.
What do the men make? Their corresponding male.
Oh,
athletes.
Are you ready for the men? The
Go
average
ahead.
Salary for the like an average player on the men's world team on it's a U.S. team, by the way. I want to clarify that is $200,000.
Now,
okay.
I was totally oblivious to this. I thought these was like the Olympics. These were not pros, so they didn't get paid. That's how stupid I was. You know what I thought was interesting is these women just had a ticket tape parade, won like the biggest soccer game ever, and then they had to join their regular teams this week. Go back to like playing in Jersey and playing in wherever. That's got to be a letdown. I mean, they got to probably walk in there and go, ladies, we ain't trying.
Because you know nobody's going to these games. Especially, that's just true. It's unfortunate, but the people aren't even interested in men's soccer in this country.
But now, they were very surprised by the following, and I think they predicted that's going to like double the attendance. Like the attendance was really surprising for this World Cup, and they were good as you know they've been compared to like the 1990s team, and so I think they did a great job. So.
Let's face it.
I mean, we are waiting for Brandy, that.
Waiting for a woman to take her top off, like Brandy Chastain did in 1999. Let's face it. That's what the attendance was for. That's what the ratings were about. They were waiting to see the next soccer star come down to her bra. I hate to say it, but it's unfortunate.
Are we talking about you? Are we talking about you here, Eric? Because you seem really enthusiastic about this. I didn't think of it, to be honest. I tell you, I watched them. First of all, here's something that really jumped out at me. When you watch the guys' game, every 2 minutes somebody's crying on the floor.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Everybody's crying. And they take their tops off and nobody cares.
But do they care. Do the women
care.
Do that? They don't cry like that. They just play.
No, they're tough. They're tough.
Right?
Yes.
So are there any other topics, any other stories, Marie, that you wanted to cover?
Oh, well, I just thought this was interesting because you brought it up to me this week when we were talking sports was the first Chinese guy was drafted by the NHL, the first Chinese player ever. And this is what's cool. I did my research. He's 18 years old. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds, which I think is big for a Chinese guy. Am I wrong?
I'm not touching that.
And
we'll
put it on record that A. Marie said that it's big for a Chinese guy.
Okay, it's a question, A. Marie. Was he from China?
Is he from
the People's Republic of China?
He's from Chinese.
Yes, he's 18 years old. Well, no. He went to high school in New Jersey, but he grew up in China.
Okay, well, okay, but then, you know what? That's something. If you think about it, how many athletes could they produce if they would just let people out? There's 1,300,000,000 of them. You could start, they could have five leagues over there. They really could.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he wants to go to college, though. He wants to go to college. He wants to go to Boston. He wants to play for the Islanders, but he wants to go get a college education.
Well, you know what? I didn't hear what you just said, and I apologize because I was looking to see who's on the line next. Did you ask where he grew up, or did you mention where he grew up?
Yes, I asked where he grew up. He did grow up in China,
but he went to high school.
Canada, didn't he, Amory? Didn't he move to Canada to train for a while?
Train, and then went to high school in New Jersey. And now he does want to go to college, though.
Yeah, yeah. And Wong was the owner of the Islanders? Is it Wong?
Yeah.
He is kind of, because he drafted him, so he's kind of taking him under his wing, and they're trying to get more interest for hockey in China.
There you go. It's an emerging
market. And in Brooklyn.
And in Brooklyn.
Yeah, there's a billion more people there than we have. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It's a perfect place. What they should do, and he's crazy to go to college. I would take the money. Please, you want to go to college to meet chicks anyway.
I bet Jay-Z will persuade him. Okay.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Amory. Did you hear our previous call there, Joe Maffa?
Yeah, I was listening.
Is he not funny?
Oh yeah, he's great. I hope to meet him on the circuit, or I don't. He said he'll be at the August 12th show.
Yes, in fact, he's going to be at Joe and I just did the Broadway Comedy Club yesterday, and we'll be back there August 9th and 23rd.
What a plug.
And this actually it's this Sunday as well, the 19th of July, for his My Big Fat Dysfunctional Life, 3 o'clock, Broadway Comedy Club downstairs.
Okay. Also, I produce the show at New York Comedy Club if anybody's around on Thursday, July 16th.
Great. Thursday, July 15th? That's fantastic. What time?
16th, yeah. 7 p.m., New York Comedy Club.
At the 16th. Okay, great. 7 p.m., New York Comedy Club. A. Marie's, what's the name of the show?
It's a happy hour comedy show with A. Marie and my fellow business partner, Madison Malloy. Look her up. She's beautiful. She's someone you'd want her to take her shirt off at the World Cup game.
There you go. Man.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Now you just filled up half the Brody Comedy Club for the next show. Amory, always a pleasure, my dear.
Thank you, John. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
All right. And again, sorry for your loss.
Thank you again. I'll see you next week.
Bye-bye, Amory. Bye-bye, Amory's family.
Bye.
she's from Texas. Mexico. I'm sorry, Mexico.
Really?
New Mexico. I went around the horn right there.
I hate to say, when you get past 100, she didn't sound, I hate to say, it didn't sound all broken up. I have to be honest. I'm sure she loved her. But after, when it hits to 103, you know what?
I know. I know. Do we still have Pam on the line? To Butts?
Yes.
Hello, Pam. How are you?
Hello. I am good. I've been listening this whole time, and wow, what an array of topics we have here. I mean, people dying in each other's arms, to saving children, to women taking their shirts off. It's been very interesting.
It's really a mess.
Oh, I like it.
what we're trying to do here is create our yucks from the intelligence of the staff here. We don't want to just, do silly. We're trying to create it from intelligence, and then every once in a while we'll have, like, Joe Maffa on.
Oh. Well, everybody was great. No, it kind of was similar to my way of thinking. Like, I'm here, then I'm there, then I'm there, then I'm there. Get it? So we're all on the same on the same page.
Well, what's interesting here is we had another guest or two lined up. But what I wanted to ask you, what I wanted to ask you is, not only are you a stand-up comic, I met her, Pam, at a show we did at the Comedy Cove a few weeks ago. Oh, you were there, Eric. Mm-hmm. Eric was on the show. That's right.
Right.
Oh, you know Pam. You remember Pam?
Yeah, it's just like a...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was great. It was...
And she walked in, and she was a little dizzy. She was there the wrong week. She was coming for a show. Am I right?
I know. Yes, I felt like Forrest Gump that night, because like I wandered in like wrong place, wrong time, and I wound up like on a show. It was really cool.
That's the best of this business. You meet new people, you network. We all hit it off. It was great. But then I noticed on Facebook there's something else that you do with your life.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us what that is?
What I do lots of things. What else?
To?
Which
do you know what I'm,
which
I'm
one?
Referring
what
to?
The modeling or no?
Yeah, you do some modeling. You don't do any bodybuilding stuff, but you do some modeling, no?
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. That sort of just happened. You know, like those people say, like, oh, you know, I walk them streets and become model. It was kind of like that. I was on vacation, and I'd taken a picture in a bikini, and, you know, I've been working out a lot. Then all of a sudden, that posted up on Facebook maybe like 5-10 minutes. And then from there, it's been like, you know, I've gotten a lot of gigs from that. It's been really cool. I used to be like a promotional model, like the people who do like the beer and stuff like that, and then a couple of those commercials where you're like, there's a girl and she's holding the beer cans and then she smiles and then she's gone. So, but I thought I had gotten like too old for that, but I guess not. So it's been cool. Yeah, I've been doing that and doing acting stuff too. So been busy. Yeah.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Well, the same thing happened to Eric, right?
Weren't yeah, when Larry? I took my shirt off, I got a lot of work.
I know. I saw you the other day, you know, at that audition. I didn't want to embarrass you, though.
She saw you at
oh,
yeah.
She saw me there. There you go. Okay.
Well, I can't thank you enough for calling in and listening tonight. We need our listeners. We need our comics to support us. And thank you so much, Pam, for calling in.
Okay. Well, thank you. Have a great night. You too.
All right. Be well. I'm going to read one of our sponsors, and then we're going to bring in Patty. Sunray Services is one of Long Island's top heating, cooling, and electrical contractors. They are celebrating 25-year anniversary. Sunray proudly serves all of Nassau and Suffolk counties, and is partnered with both PSE&G and National Grid. Now is the best time to upgrade your central air conditioning and heating systems. Sunray offers 0% financing and unsurpassed service. Call them today for a free in-home estimate at 888-9-SUNRAY. That's 888-9-SUNRAY. And our last commercial, then we'll bring in our last guest, All Clear Drain and Sewer Service. All Clear. 516-409-9696. Not All Clear. I said All Clear. Sinks, tubs, toilets, main lines, and more. Clean, reliable, and courteous service. Let's bring on Patty. Hello, Patty.
Hello. How are you today, John?
Excellent. Tara?
Hey, Patty. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Tara?
Very well. Thank you.
Now, I'm going to let Tara ask you a few questions or have Patty talk. She spoke to Patty more than I did. I tried to interview Patty on the line, and she said no. I'll talk to Tara. Tara sounds a little smarter than you, dopey fireman.
I did not.
Should we call you Patricia or Patty? What do you like better, Patricia or Patty?
Patty.
All right. So, yeah, Tara, you want to conduct this?
All right, Patty. So tell us about your business with, you know, Image and what it all entails.
I could have did that. I could have asked that.
How, well, you have to intro.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Patty.
It's Image Consulting and Personal Shopping. It's you know, it's helping people, individuals or career people, entrepreneurs, helping them shop, you know, for clothes, or maybe it's something with their businesses that they need help with. Primarily, I like working with individuals. Helps boost their self-confidence, helps them with their careers, and you know, just kind of gives people that little extra shot that they're all looking for. I think everyone is kind of always looking for ways to improve their image, and you know, who doesn't want a little help when they need it?
Good.
Patricia, I have a hair weave. Do you think you could help me shop for new hair? That would be a challenge.
Well, you know what? Good thing about me is I know a lot of people. I don't profess to know everything, but I certainly know a lot of people that can help you with that. So sure, I'm a resource to people, and if I can't help you with something, then I will help find you someone who could help you for sure.
Would you come with me to Walmart?
Yes, I would. See, everyone always thinks that you need to spend a lot of money to look good. I could take you to Walmart and I could make you look great.
I
See,
need it.
Now
I
that,
need...
that is a true image consultant person. If they need you to Walmart.
That's a magician.
She probably doesn't need the business because she sounds like she knows what's going on. But we should do like a before and after, you know, Patty experience for John LaRocchia. Like, here's what John looked like before, his white shorts and sneakers, and he's wearing his green shorts. No, that wouldn't work, right, Patty?
No, of course it would work. Sure.
Yeah.
You can do anything. On the website.
Now, do you deal with mostly people with money, with the big bucks?
No, I deal with a range of people. So it's not just people who have money. It's you know, big money, however you want to put it. It's really, my clientele are just very different. And like I said, it just depends on whatever their needs are. So it's not, you know, it's not always shopping. It could be something with their business they need help with or whatever. So it's people who get to know me and know what I'm about, know what I can do. And then, you know, a lot of times it's just a question of they'll be like, hey, I'm looking for, you know, such and such. Can you do this? And, you know, and then if I can help them, then I help them with it. But it doesn't really come down to, like, big money. It's all, that's for shopping, and it really just depends how much money you want to spend when you shop. That's what that comes down to.
I know, did you ever have some clientele where you just really got to be blunt? Did you ever have to tell somebody, for instance, it's time to lose the camel toe?
Oh my God.
Honestly, did it ever get that bad?
Well, you know, I do, you know, I find that actually more when I meet people, and I'll meet people for the first time, and people will say to me, well, what do you think of my outfit? You know, and that's kind of like, you know, no. Do I ever say that to people? No. Sometimes I wish to say to people, yes, but I, that's not kind of how I operate, but, you know, I feel everyone has it. Everyone has a right to dress they want to dress. If you ask me my opinion, though, sometimes, you know, I'll say you could do better. That's usually my stock answer.
So being part of an image consultant, it's also more than just the fashion, right? It's about how the person presents themselves and...
Absolutely. Yes, okay. Absolutely. It's really the whole package. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you speak. It's your mannerisms.
If you read my blog,
I'm very big on, like, smiling because... smiling says so much about a person, and how when you meet someone, are you smiling? Are you making eye contact with the person? Is your body language friendly? What is it saying? So it's more than just getting someone dressed up. It's how they present themselves to other people, how they carry themselves, and really like how the energy that they put off to other people.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. So your name of the company is Nine Frogs, and I like your motto there, which is where attitude is everything. It's really, that's pretty cool. But now, how did you come up with the name Nine Frogs?
That came about really actually even before I had the business. I was thinking of the business, but that came about because I had read a couple of books on businesses, and one of the underlying tones of every book I read was, have a cool name and have it be a two-syllable name, have it be a .com name, like think Target, Facebook, Walmart, all two syllables. And
right.
And long story short, the number nine and frogs are both good luck in feng shui. And I kind of dabble in feng shui and kind of put it together, and it was available, and it just kind of went from there, and it's also a great conversation piece.
Patty,
yeah,
cool. we did ask you to watch your language on the air. This feng shui was inappropriate.
Eric, is it? Oh, camel toe is two syllables.
Jesus. Too
funny. You would get millions of clients. Just cameltoe.com. They would love you.
For the wrong reason.
Patty, let me ask you this. We got 90 seconds left here. On our August 12th show, we would love to have you attend, and maybe you could invite some of your clients. It's for Angela's House, which is, I don't know if you were listening earlier to the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great charity in memory of the local guys that were lost on 9/11. I know you're local, right?
Yes.
So if you could get a group of people to attend, we would love it. We would really appreciate it. So we'll harass you about that.
Okay, absolutely. Definitely. I would love to.
Well, we really thank you for calling. She was really a good guest, Harry. She was a good guest. See,
I said she would be a good guest.
You were fun and good information.
Yes,
we may follow up on this. Maybe you think, Patty? Maybe we could do something for me.
Absolutely.
All right, we are going to let you go, and thank you so much for calling in the Laughter Saves Lives radio show.
Okay, thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
So we have to learn how to end the show a little better than we've been doing. You guys, did you have a great night? When he starts playing the music, we'll know that the show was just about over. So, Eric?
Gotcha. I had a ball. I had a ball. I really did, John. I learned a lot. I love the reverse mortgage deal.
We never talked about that.
I know that we never talked about. I'm disappointed. That was the only thing.
I'm sorry. But you did hit the highlight with the camel toe.
Listen, camel toe tends to be a highlight. I just think if you named it that, the Nine Frogs is memorable. But if you named it camel toe, maybe had a camel toe with an X through it, the circle with the X through it, it would really highlight what she does. You know what I'm saying?
She was a good guess.
Especially if you got to go to Walmart, because there's a lot of camel toe victims.
Have you ever seen that site? It's for Walmart photos. Have you ever seen that site? Not that I'm listening. Walmart's right here in our neighborhood, and listen. Have I gone in there once in a while? Absolutely for things, but yeah, it's pretty funny.
Ever go to a Walmart store?
Down south.
They have everything in there: hunting, fishing equipment. The one by me has a chase bridge. Isn't that wild? Now you can rob the bank in aisle 12 with a shotgun from aisle 7.
We are out of here, people. Thank you for listening to the Laughter Saves Lives radio show.
With leather gloves, we're slapping in hands. Popcorn and peanuts, we're working the stands. Pink cotton candy, love on a stick. He's chasing the beer, the trick of the lips, play ball.